Okay, so the topic I want to discuss today is the question of doing a mitzvah of makom sakana. The Gemara here in Pesachim of Ches speaks about b'tikas chametz. Tana in mechayvin osel lahachnis yado lecharin mustak in livzak. You're not obligated to check, you know, a hole in your wall if you're afraid there's a, you know, sakana there. There's an akrav, a scorpion. The Gemara asks, "Ashluchim mitzvah in livzakin." The Gemara says, "Hechad eshchicha zeika shayni." So it's pretty clear from the Gemara that there's no obligation to do the mitzvah b'dika because of this potential sakana. What type of sakana are we talking about? What are you talking about? Sakana sefasha, sakana nezek, holy? What about the akrav? Yeah, at least suffering nefashos. At least suffering nefashos. I mean, the Mishnah in Abba speaks about, you know, the kitas akrov as being a very, you know, painful. You know, it's again not exactly clear. The Gemara in Brachos, the Baira, you know, nachash karoch al akevo. So you keep on reading Kriyat Shema, but the akrov you stop. So it sounds like that's already a suffering sakana. So the Meiri writes that it's a sakana. Look at the source number two. Yesham sakana's akrov. It's ein bedika. You don't have to interact bedika. Shenemar v'chay behem v'lo shi'amos behem. Af bishav v'shluchei mitzvah heim. Ein roi lismach alaneis v'chein kol kiyotzi b'zeh. So he says explicitly, it's v'chay behem v'lo shi'amos behem. Again, you don't need to have a high level of, you know, potential for nefashos to be considered suffik. There's a question: what is it? Suffik v'chenevesh tocha. Isurim, what level suffik? 1 in 1,000? What? 1 in 100,000? So it's a big discussion. I gave a shiur on it last year. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if it's fair to put somebody else into sakana. I mean, there's a din of of being matzal other people, is a chiyuv losamad al-amariyacha. So,
yeah, but I'm saying
the
case later on in the Gemara, which
was
close,
a nachash, I don't think it's as dangerous as an akrav. That's what I was saying from the Gemara Brachos. So, nachash, you know, again, there are different types of nachash and also different types of akravim. Right.
I mean, we're assuming that there's somebody who's an expert in being able to avoid the danger of the akrov.
Maybe you should have to hire an akrov, just like there's a snake catcher, there's also an akrov catcher, so he'll do it for you.
There's no room to say there's any problem that you need fire if there's an akrov.
Oh, so that's what I want to discuss. I want to discuss this question of a chiyuv mitzvah makom sakana, either sakas nefashos, and then more interestingly, which is probably less relevant for the sugya, what are makom choli or tsar? You know, I did a search on the internet. In Israel, there are 21 types of scorpions. 3 are poisonous. And in the world, it's much lower level percentage. I think there are about 1,500 types of scorpions in the world, and only like 23 or 25 of them are poisonous. But still, it's still suffik nafesh, because the echem and the aleph, you know, it's... okay. In any case, I want to analyze these questions separately, because they really are separate questions. The first question I want to analyze is there a heter to do a mitzvah makom sakana? The Gemara says you're potter. Let's say you want to. So, again, I should point out that if it's a shas hashmad, there's a whole discussion, you know, shas hashmad if the moser nefesh, even on a small thing, or akta d'masanai. And there's a machlokes rishonim, does that mean you should also do a mitzvah from a shas hashmad? Meaning, if it's a shas hashmad, should you also do a mitzvah essay, or just you shouldn't violate a law? They talk about the Gemara in Shabbos, Elisha Bal Kanafayim, that he was wearing tefillin, and they ran after him, and he took off his tefillin, and a nace happened, and there was feathers. So the Rishonim asked, why did you take off his tefillin? It's Shas HaShemad. So some say, no, Shas HaShemad, you shouldn't do Isurim, but you don't have to do mitzvahs, you're allowed to hide, you're allowed to abstain from doing mitzvahs. That's the question, but let's say we're not talking Shas HaShemad, we're talking about a regular person, he has a hole in his wall, and he wants to, but because Chametz, he's potter, let's say he wants to, is he allowed to? So what are you taina? Are you allowed to put yourself in danger to do a mitzvah?
Sounds like
No, you're saying no, right? Yeah, why? Chayvem, right? Chayvem, in short, you have to take care of yourself. It's usher to put yourself in danger. Sometimes, you know, Chazal, we're mistaken, a special gezeira, a special way of doing the mitzvah, v'shasa sakana. So, Chanukah, so v'shasa sakana, minichal shulchan avadaya. You're davening, but it's a shasa sakana, so you just say, you know, a tefillah katsara, the Gemara in Brachos. But if they didn't make a special sakana, you just pater, not only you pater, it's also for you to endanger yourself, nishvartim or nafshu seichem. Now, the truth is, the source of nishvartim or nafshu seichem is a pasuk in the Torah talking about a avodah zarah. You should be careful not to do a avodah zarah. It doesn't say, it's not talking about, you know, ensuring that your physical well-being is safe. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis, has a story of a chassid who's davening, and some hagmon shows up and, you know, starts talking to him, and he doesn't respond. The hagmon says, "You're a shoyte. It says in your Torah, Yishimartim od l'shon seichem." So it's a little unclear, if, is that really a source? I mean, it's pashut that you're supposed to, you know, bimoneh yourself from a matzav of sakana. Here's a question, if that's the source or not. The Gemara actually quotes two psukim. The other pasuk is Hishamer Lecha. Again, also, it's a pasuk that's talking not about your physical well-being, but your spiritual well-being. But the Maisa, we assume halacha that you obviously can't put yourself in a matzav of sakana, and that this is probably the source, even though, like I said, it's not so clear in the sources. That there's a Gemara in Shavuos, and I think Lamed Vav Beis, that says that you shouldn't recall yourself. If you recall yourself, you're violation of Yishamer Lecha. So some people say that you shouldn't hurt yourself. So it's similar to hurting yourself physically, but you call yourself. Anyway, so we know there's a mitzvah, and we have an obligation to try to stay healthy. So a person who do a mitzvah, violation of that. But if you look at the Mishnah in Brachas, source number 3, Amar of Tarfon, so he endangered himself by lying down. You can't protect yourself on the road. To read Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, lying down, that was a sheet of Veshamai. Zakanti v'atzmi p'nei listim. Amru lo kadaya isa l'acho v'atzmecha shavart al divrei Beis Hillel. So Chachamim say, you know, you made a mistake. Kadaya isa l'acho v'atzmecha shavart al divrei Beis Hillel. So it's clearly inappropriate to be machmir for Veshamai and put yourself in danger. Let's say you want to do the halacha. You want to follow Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel's psak would put you in danger. So, like I said, are you allowed to do that? So, it's Tiferes Yisrael on that Mishnah writes, "Eicha deleka vaday sakana l'shchiyah hezeka mitzvah v'ina asik aguni magni." So he makes a distinction, you know. Based on our Gemara, right? If you look at the first source, Hecha the Shchicha Hezeka Shaini. So he says, if it's not Shchicha Hezeka, if it's not such a Vade Sakana, it's only a Safek Sakana, it's not Shchicha Hezeka, so you are allowed to endanger yourself, do a mitzvah. Maybe you're not obligated to, but you are allowed to endanger yourself if it's not a Vade Sakana, it's just a Safek Sakana. That's an interesting makor. It's actually, I didn't have room on the sheet, but the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Yud Beis says that you're allowed to endanger yourself for your parnasa. Person, Elof, who knows, a person can work as a builder. How do you build? You climb up on a tree and you can fall off, you know. And yet you're allowed to do that. So I was just wondering, like, if you're allowed to, you know, endanger yourself physically for Parnassa, why shouldn't you endanger yourself spiritually? The answer, of course, is Pashut. The answer is that here we have Mitzvah Chayveh. There is a heter of parnasa. Heter of parnasa allows you even to travel in the ships. Once upon a time, you travel by ship, the ship could, you know, capsize. You know, still today it could happen, but, you know, it wasn't not as. But you're allowed to travel. You're allowed to endanger yourself for parnasa. You're not supposed to for mitzvahs. V'chai b'hem. For the Torah is given, v'chai b'hem. You know, a parnasa is a type of klala that exists, and the klala includes danger. So anyway, l'maisa. It's clear in the Mishnah here in Brachas of Yudam Beis that you shouldn't endanger yourself for the Chumrah, to be machmir for Beis Shammai. Tiferes Yisrael says that if it's not Vadei Hezeka, not Shchicha Hezeka, it's not Vadei Sakana, you're allowed to follow the Halacha, even Makom Sakana, even though you probably aren't obligated to. But there is a shita of Rav Yaakov Emden. He wrote a parish in the Mishnayos, source number 5, it's called Lechem Shamayim, and he argues that really the Rav Tarfon was allowed to be machmir for a base of Shamai. Just in this particular instance, it could lead to Atakala. People might, think that you have to be Kriya Shema that way, and they won't read it otherwise if they're not able to lie down. But fundamentally, he writes, if you're a chassid, you're allowed to be machmir. He writes, look at verse 25. Etc. If you skip the next line, aval im haya makom lahachmir lasuk veishamai lo daish lo haya liram if nealistim the mitzvah veinna asik ba'matzla ela afilu haya mistakin lo haya alav shum onesh hashikin etz atzmo l'sakana mishum chumra ba'alma the vada hecha the sheicha chumra shari afilu istakune Allah. If there is a legitimate chumra, this chumra wasn't legitimate. It was a misleading chumra. It could cause a problem in people understanding the psak. But if there's a legitimate chumra, it's mutter to put yourself in danger. Umidus chasidus here. It's a pretty wild sheet of Yaakov Emden. Obviously, in a chova al kol adam, so it's not a chova, but still, it's you're allowed to do it. So basically, we have over here, I guess three days. The simple understanding is that there's a sakana, you're not allowed to do a mitzvah. The Pharisee Sale says if it's a sakana that's not a vade sakana, it's not shchicha zeka, you are allowed, you're not obligated, you're allowed to do it. And Rav Yaakov Emden says that really, even if it's just a chumrah and it's a vade sakana, you're allowed to endanger yourself. So it's a pretty wild sheet. I should mention that there is a well-known machlokus Yishonim by Kiddush Hashem. We know there are gimel chamuros, you have to give up your life for three cardinal sins, and you're not allowed to give up your life for other things. So if a guy puts a gun to your head and says, Machal Shabbos, Sanshas Hashmad, so you have a chiyuv to Machal Shabbos. Let's say you don't. So there's a machlokes Rishonim. The Rambam writes, Chomish Nemar Bo Yavar Al Yaharek V'Nerek V'La'Avar Haizim Ischai V'Napsha. It's terrible. If you don't Machal Shabbos, you kill yourself. You almost committed suicide, if you will. I mean, quite suicide, but you did an aver. And there are other Rishonim, because the Mishnah brings them, who say, no, it's Amidus Chasidus. That if Goyis puts a gun to your head and says, B'chal Shabbos, and you say, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Amidus Chasidus. Look at the Chesed Mishnah. Sover Rabbeinu Shekshamru B'bar Yavar Liyarek Perush Sarich La'avar. The Rambam says you're obligated to violate. Well, Shleimim V'chein Rabbi, many Gedolim argue, V'sovrim She'im Nerak V'la'avar Tzedakah Techashiv, it's Amidus Chasidus for a person to give up his life, not to B'chal Shabbos, not to do other averas. They understand that when it says Yavar Yarek, it's not an obligation, it's permission. You're allowed to violate Shabbos. But if you want to give up your life, you're kadosh. It's a wonderful thing. Now, I want to highlight that this machlokas Yishonim is not connected to the Ar Shaila here. The Shaila I'm dealing with right now is whether or not you're allowed to endanger yourself to a mitzvah. That has nothing to, so you directly say, well, if you hold like the other Yishonim against the Rambam, you would be allowed to. It's not true. There's a question of Kiddush Hashem. The other Rishonim hold, there's a Kiddush Hashem when a guy puts a gun to your head and says, Michal Shabbos, you sign not to, you're Michal Hashem Shemayim. That doesn't mean that they would hold that you could, like Rav Tarfon, you can mechsakin yourself for Amidus Chasidus or for something you're prohibited from doing. There's no Kiddush Hashem there, L'chora. If there's no Kiddush Hashem, I don't know if they necessarily would hold of that Urimut. Zayder? Okay. So basically, what we saw here in this first section was the question of whether or not you're allowed to become a mitzvah of sakana. Pasha says you aren't. Although some think that maybe you would be mutter if it's not a vade sakana, or maybe even if it is a vade sakana, it would be considered a mitzvah chasidus, like a Rebbe Emden, but that's, of course, das yachid. Another question that arises is, let's say a person did a mitzvah of sakana. You're not supposed to do B'digas Chametz, because there's a hole, there's a Safek Akrav there. But you decided you wanted to do it anyway. So what did you do? Did you do a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah of Avera. How do you look at that exactly? So the pashtus is that you still did a mitzvah. Meaning, a classic mitzvah of Avera is like you steal a lulav, and you took the lulav. Here, the mitzvah is a mitzvah. It happens to be there's a matzah of Sakana, so you were potter, and you decided to do it anyway. Think about the Holocaust stories. You know, they pull your heartstrings. They're very moved. The people who are most inept to mitzvahs, we usually think it's a wonderful thing. It could be they didn't have to, but they did anyway. So we think they did a mitzvah, right? Chara, they did a Rukhaya mitzvah. That's the pashas. But there is a tshuva of the Oni Yontif. Oni Yontif was a Yisrael Yontif Halperin. He was a Litzvish Gadol, the generation before Reb Chaim. And he was very lomdish, pre-Reb Chaim lomdish, but very, very lomdish. He became the Rav of Piala Stock. And he wrote the Shailos and Tshuvas Oni Yontif. Even the name is a lomdish name. Why is the name a Yontif name? A lomdish name? Because there's a Shaila, there's Simchas Yontif. There's a Shaila if there is Oni Yontif. Ramal, there is. Other anyway, so he has a very interesting chiddush here. Look at the Oni Yontif here, source number 7. Yistapakti b'chole sheyesh bo sakana. V'giyel el Pesach. So the doctors tell him you can't eat matzah. V'zman achilas matzah. He loves the mitzvahs. He ignored the doctors. He ate the matzah even though it was dangerous for him. And then later in the evening, he was already felt better, and now the doctors say it's okay. But he ate the matzah when the doctors told him not to. So the shayla is, was he yotze the mitzvah of matzah when he ate it when it was dangerous for him to eat? Maybe, interesting thought, maybe since he was potter, he wasn't yotze. The Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that a person who has a temporary insanity, if he ate the matzah when he was insane, he had din b'shoteh. So when he becomes shofwe, becomes cured, later in the evening he should eat the matzah, because what he ate before was it didn't count. Etc. Gemara Shana gabi kafug achol matzah. L'chora nira l'havi raya mihad aminu b'yavamos ki atir vizka v'yosef amar uvda havi kamei der v'yokanan b'knishta d'ma'od v'yama kibor v'shkali b'shabiz. Mila Rishona, Umeis Shnia, Umeis Shlishi, Spalafanov, Amarlo Hachi, Umoli, Amarle Avaya, Chazi, the Kasharis, Isura, Visakanta. So a person had a child that was shouldn't be mild because the child, had a sakana, and he did it anyway. He mild the child when he shouldn't have. So the Gemara says it's Isura Visakanta. Says Rashi, Pirish Rashi, Isura. Wow. He wants to say that you see from Rashi that if you did a mila when you shouldn't have on Shabbos, you will mechal Shabbos. So it's like you didn't do the mila. So if you ate the matzah when you shouldn't have, it's like you didn't eat the matzah because it was dangerous for you. That's what he wants to say. The chashiv the bechal Shabbos v'mal v'ofen shaloyim v'choyim v'lamol. Okay, chazim the mitzvah she'inu tzvichal asus yishuv sakana v'avar v'asa dami k'mi shelo asa v'chashvina le k'ilu chilo asa Shabbos shelo l'tzorech. Hachanami b'inyan she'la seyu d'mi shelo achal k'mi shelo achal matzah. It's as if he didn't eat because he ate when it was dangerous. V'tzorech l'achshav l'achal. So it's a very big chiddush that Anigadim argues that if you do a mitzvah, makam sakana, so it's as if you didn't do the mitzvah. It's as if you didn't do the mitzvah. Now, even though the Yadav admits that there's a difference between a matzah where the background is sakana, meaning, let's say getting the lulav is sakana. So you ran through a war zone to get a lulav. It's pasha, though you shake it, you're yotze, because you shook the lulav. What do you mean? Right, and now, but Fuke, if there's sakana in the shaking itself, if you shake the lulav in the war zone, maybe then you're not Makayim. But if you just ran through a war zone to get the lulav, it's just a hechsher. So that's one point he makes. Another point is that, to say you have to eat matzah again, that works. But what are you going to do with the kid? The kid, you mild him when he had, so you can't mild him again. So if you can't do it again, so we assume you're Yotze, but Lemaiza. You're saying that you should have to do a tough assam bris. I don't think he assumes that way. It was long true, but I didn't read the whole thing, but I think he assumes that if it's a mitzvah that the chalos happens. If it's just a regular maisa, they'd have to do it again. But anyway, it's a very good chiddush. The pashtus says, even if we assume that you shouldn't do a mitzvah makom sakana, which is the pashtus, if you did, L'chora, you do the mitzvah. You do the mitzvah. What I want to discuss now is a related question, and that is, what about doing a mitzvah of makom choli or tzar, which probably happens more often? You know, sakanas hafashas, you know, Baruch Hashem is more limited, but often a person is in a matzav where doing the mitzvah could, or I don't know, often, but it could happen. The first, if they're doing a mitzvah, you're going to get sick. You're still obligated to do a mitzvah. So in our example, let's say we knew that the akravim, you know, were non-poisonous. So if you do b'dikas chametz, you know, you're going to stick your hand in, and the worst thing, case scenario, is that you're going to have a, you know, a rash or, you know, pain or illness, but you're not going to have any sakaris nefashas. I have a daughter who studies in Malay Adumim, in a dorm school, so she knows all about the difference between, like, the yellow scorpions and black ones, and like, it's like, I was like, oh my. So if people live near the desert, I know which akravim are dangerous and which, you know, they're all, you know, not, it's not fun getting stung by a, you know, an akrav, but some are sakana safashas and some aren't, like I said. So let's say you know that the ones you have in your house are, you know, not sakana safashas. So what are you obligated to do petikas chametz if it's just going to cause you some type of illness or pain and so there are a number of sources about this topic. There was a very nice article written in a book called Halacha V'Refuah, Moshe Herzler. I don't know if you're familiar with the name. Moshe Herzler was a Gaon Adir. He was one of the first Gedolim who were involved in putting out nice editions, footnotes of Ksav Yad. He lives here by Vigan, so he put out went through the Ramban, and he footnoted it, and he put out many, many, many Svarim, really Gaon Adir. So he had for many years, I think the 80s or late 70s, he had a volume would come out every year, Refuah and Halacha. There were four or five volumes that came out. So in one of the volumes, there's a whole article about this topic. I talk some of the makaris from there. I think the name of the Rav who wrote it was Feingold, if I'm mistaken. There are a lot of makaris. They're dispersed throughout Chas, discussing this issue. Do you have an obligation to a mitzvah, makom sakana, makom choli? So if you look here, source number 8, the Yerushalmi Psachim quotes a famous story. Rav Yona shati arba kase lil pescha. Rav Yona would drink 4 cups of wine. Apparently he didn't take very well to wine. V'chazi greshi aratzarta. He had a headache till Shavuos. Rav Yuda by Rav Eloi shati arba kase lil pescha v'chazi greshi archaga. He had a headache until Sukkot. So you have people doing mitzvahs and it's causing a lot of tzar. So was that a mischasidus? Is that mikra din? The pashtus is, again, it's hard to know. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if you look at the source number 9, Mishaina shows a yain yiftei mashem mezika, asono tzarech lelitchok atzmo lishtos. You have to push yourself. V'lekayim mitzvahs arbakosos. The Shulchan Aruch assumes this is not just a mischasidus, but it's a halacha. It's normal halacha. You should push yourself. I don't know if you would say, you know, if you have a headache till Shavuos, but even if it's mazig you, it causes you some tzar, you should drink wine. It's funny, now that we have grape juice, and they didn't always have grape juice. Grape juice is a new invention. Why is grape juice a new invention? Because before Louis Pasteur, there was only grape juice in the fall when the grapes were ripe. By Pesach time, all the grape juice either turned into wine or vinegar. So it's hard to know. You know, you can't really prove in this Gemara Psachim that you can't use grape juice. There's a Machlokes Achronim. Is grape juice, you know, less, ideal for dalakosos because it's not really derech cheirus? Maybe Rav Moshe Feinstein says derech cheirus is the ability to get a little high. And they say the Rav said farkeret that if you like grape juice, it's derech cheirus. It's arev lo. I have to take what you like. So the Rav, I think, drank grape juice. Some people mix, you know, a little bit of wine. If you have a little bit of wine, you're for Moshe, you know. Anyway, the Maisa, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that you should push yourself to drink wine even if you don't like it, even if it hurts you. And the Mishmur writes, Mithesha Maziko, Rizlom Hashem Tztair B'shtiyasov V'koi V'rosho Mizev V'in V'chlal Zeh She'ipol Mishkov. So he right away says that if you're going to get mamash sick, you're going to lie in bed, then you're potter. It just means that, presumably not like Yerushalmi, meaning, again, it's hard to know what he had a headache till Shavuos. Could be he was over enough of the Mishkov. He just had a headache. It's hard to know, but Bishabur assumes that if you're going to fall into bed, meaning literally meaning nafal lemishkan, if you're going to have to lie down, so that would be enough to potter you. And if you look at the Shabbat Tzion, though, it says kenir pashut te'ein tzeder acheres. So he assumes it's not tzeder acheres. So some achronim, you can really put this both two directions. You could say that you see from here it's only a p'tur because ein tzeder acheres. But really, for all the mitzvahs, even if you're not a mishkov, you have to do mitzvahs, even if you're going to become sick. Just here, it's not tzeder acheres. Or you say for care, no, it's pashut that you're potter from doing mitzvahs if you're going to get sick. It's just that what? Here, because it's a mitzvah prusumenitza and you have to sell your shirt off your back to do it, v'chule, so I might have thought they did a chiyuv, kamash v'lan, even here you're potter. So the Chorin put the poles in different directions. So it's unclear what to prove from this. You know, it's a little hard to know. The Mishnah Berurah says, nafal mishkov is potter. It's not clear if that's a specific thing here, but everywhere else you'd be chayiv, that's what some want to say. Or for Karen, of course you're potter, and this is just, you might have thought you'd be in a chayiv here, because it's prusumenitza, you know, except. If you look at Yerushalmi Brachos, similar discussion, so it's number 12 on the sheet. Yochanan b'siyuta to have a chazik reishi have a lavish tarvayu. Yochanan would wear tefillin shel yad and shel rosh in the winter b'siyuta. Sorry, it's actually focus on the girsa. The way we have it here is that in the winter, to have a chazik reishi have a lavish tarvayu. Sorry, the way we have it here is that in the winter his head was strong, and he would wear both. The kite in the summer, the lavish chazik reisha, he had a heat stroke or something. Lo havi lavish ella da'ari. He only wore tefillin shel yad in the summer. Some rishonim say that it's fakir, that in the winter he wouldn't wear it because he was worried of getting a cold. He wouldn't take off his hat. Either way, you see that Rabbi Yochanan, one season, only wore tefillin shel yad. So you say, well, you don't get sick. You don't have to do a mitzvah, you're going to get sick. Look at there's Ali Tamar over there, source number 13. Rabbi Yochanan bekaita lavi lavush ala da'ara klomar benogel lavisha kol yom avashas kriyash b'vitzfila pshita shafekai say lavush. So he rejects the pashas of the Gemara. He says, of course he wore tefillin. He just didn't wear it all day. He wore it for kriyash like we do today. So he just, you know, kind of ignores the Gemara, limits it. But even if you accept it, it could be a specific din in tefillin. If you look at the Rambam paskins, verse number 14, mitzdar u'mishe ein daitom yusheves pichona olav, potem in a tefillin, you're potem from a tefillin, shemei niach tefillin, osu asiach da'ato mihen. The Rambam says there's a special din in tefillin that requires a certain concentration, you can't have a hesach adas. So it could be that if your person is mitzdar, so mainly it's potem from tefillin, not because there's a ptura for all mitzvahs of mitzdar, but just because a person who is mitzvah can't do this mitzvah, the mitzvah requires a certain amount of concentration. If you look at the Kesef Mishnah, Kasa Reinim Noach, Avagav, the Vishar Mitzvah, Samrina, mitzvah, Evaila, Yisuvay Daite. By other mitzvahs, you say you have to get a grip. Halcha, Shaini, Mishum, Hesach Hadas. Here it's a special din of Hesach Hadas. So again, this Yerushalmi might be not relevant in general. It might be a special p'tur of mitzvah by tefillin. But there are Farshim who quote this Yerushalmi or things like this Yerushalmi. Look at the Leket Yosher. Leket Yosher is Talmud of the Trumas Deshin, the late Rishon, early Achron, and he writes the following: there's a woman who's a sickly woman, wasn't feeling well, and the man asked if his wife is chayev to eat matzah. Achrei shehi regila yos anusha shekoreim v'loshen Ashkenaz. Om tig. I don't know exactly what this is, so it's hard to know how to apply it. But the woman has a condition. I feel like she's bria. She's very weak. So the concern is if she eats the matzah mar, she might get sick again. She's not obligated. He quotes a rosh. I didn't find this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi that the Rosh quotes is similar to the Yerushalmi quoted above. It's a little different. According to this Yerushalmi, Yochanan didn't wear tefillin all year. Only before Pesach he would wear in the springtime he would wear tefillin. Because when he would put on tefillin, it would hurt his head till Shavuos. From Pesach to Shavuos, Perish Lefisha Haya Choshen L'Rosh Mekrirus Yarel Anich Tefillin. If you appear Sham Oshri Alma Afal Gav the Kasef Asmak to Mishi Ino Minich Tefillin Over B'Chol Yom Mishmonet Asay V'Lachi L'Chash So the way the Leket Yosher presents this idea is that there's a p'tur of doing mitzvahs and you're going to get sick. If doing this mitzvah is going to make you sick, you're potter. The Torah never was mechayev do mitzvahs b'makom choli. So getting back to our case, if I know that the scorpions in my house are non-poisonous, but they're going to sting me. Let's say you're going to do v'chiv do b'dikas chametz if there are wasps around. The wasps are going to sting. You know, there's some chametz near the wasp nest. So you're going to start getting the chametz there, you're going to end up, you know, stinging yourself. The bees will sting you. So, no, you're potter. So the way the Lechi Yosher presents it is that a choli, again, it's hard to know how strong the choli has to be. It's not a headache. We're talking about a woman who has, she's his lesson is anusha. In modern Hebrew, anusha means like, you know, it's already chasakana. But, you know, chole anush is, so I don't know if they use the language the same way we do. But it seems like there's a chash choli, and the choli might come back. It's not even sick now. The choli might come back. If she eats the matzah mara, don't eat the matzah mara because the choli might come back. That's how he presents. And the truth is that there is a, you know, a well-known halacha in Hilchos Sukkah of mitzar as being potter. Look at the Gemara on the Chavav over there, source number 17. Which I'm sure you're familiar with. Tan Rabbanan Cholish Amru L'Cholish Yesh Basakana Filu Cholish Yein Basakana Filu Chash Be'Einav Filu Chash Be'Rosha. Your potter from Sukkah if you have a headache, if you have an ayik. Amar B'Shem V'Gam Liel Pamachas Chashdi Be'Einai V'Kisri V'Hitir of Yosi B'Ribi Lishon Ani M'Shamshai Chutz L'Sukkah. Rav Shara L'Rav Acha B'Ardel L'Migna B'Kilta B'Sukkah Mishu Bok. Rav Ashari Le Ravach Barav Lemina B'Tzadlo Mishum Sircha Digar Gishta. So you know a person can not sleep in the sukkah because of the insects or because of some minor discomfort. That's already a legitimate reason to not sit in the sukkah. Rav Taimin Amar Rav Mitzar Pasim in the sukkah. We have two of Mitzar. Hold up, Sar. So the question is this a special halacha in Hilchos Sukkah? It sounds like. It sounds like a special halacha in Hilchos Sukkah. It's not something we can learn export. But even if that's true, it could be here we're willing to be mekel even for the minute tsar. You know, a person has an ayek, a person has a headache. But it could be there's a serious tsar. A person is going to, you know, end up being bedridden if he puts on tefillin. So maybe he's part there. A person bedridden if he eats maror. You know, maror probably can relate to. You know, people have. I have a friend who has a Crohn's disease. So when it acts up, you know, it's sometimes he's fine and sometimes it acts up. When he acts up, he really can't, you know, he could push himself, but it could really end up being nafal mishkan. So he once had Crohn's disease around the Lel Seder, and he wasn't sure what to do. So this is part of the question. Are you mechuyev to do a mitzvah if it's going to cause you to be nafal mishkan? And it's not a chash takana, in his case. Again, I don't know, in his particular, it wasn't, but still, you mechuyev in that case. So this issue is a machlokes mafarshim. Like I said, the Leket Yosher gives an example where he says it's mutter to not eat matzah mar for this to avoid this choli. Again, it's hard to know exactly what the level of choli is, but there is an interesting halacha that could be instructive in terms of trying to figure out exactly what the level is. Look at the source number 22, the Gemara Ksubis, Vazves Alibazes Yosemi Chomish. They didn't have room on the sheet, but the Raman Simin Tafresh Nunvav. That's the halacha. Tzedakah. You're not supposed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. Why? Because we're concerned if you give so much money away, you yourself will become poor. Okay. The Rama in Siman Taf Reish Nun Vav in Hilchos Lulav says you shouldn't spend more than a chomesh to buy an esrog, or to do any mitzvah veras. A chomesh. So some Achronim learn from this that this is a general principle. If you look here, in the Abnei Nezer, Simon Shin Chaf Aleph, in Yoredeya, source number 23, She'ela, Yelet and Old Beregel Akal. A child was born with some type of, regel that it's Akum. Verofa Mumcha Omer She'ish Ofen Liashem a regel, Al Yedei Gofsin Kol Ocha Atomos Yelet Rakim. When the child is very young, you can still try to interfere medically to straighten the child's foot. You have to do it right away. If you do the Mila first, you wait 8 days, do the Mila, then what's going to happen is that the doctors won't be able to cure the child's leg. If you do the operation right when the child's born, then he won't be able to do the Mila. So basically, you have a choice. You can either do the mila, and then child is going to be handicapped for life, or you can do the operation to try to straighten the leg, and then you'll do the mila a month later, 2 months later. So what's the Avnezer right? Imut lasus operatia litkos a mila bismano olamulo afshal de yishar yelet balmu tshuva. So he says, listen, you have to make sure the doctors are saying it's correct. But if they are indeed correct, borrowed the mutual asus operatia to Mrs. Essay, Eno Mikhoy of the Vasus al Honrav, Kedisa, Birachaim, Simen Tav, Reish, Nun Vav. So he quotes the Ramah. Koshken Shalom, yeah, yell it, Balmum. So he says, a person is willing to spend a fifth of his money to avoid his child being a Balmum. So it's Pashut that he doesn't have the obligation to the meal of his mana. You can vatal mitzvah mila bezmana to avoid, you know, this type of mu. And Rav Moshe's Teshuva also in Simen Kuf Ayin Beis Vorachaim Aleph Kuf Ayin Beis. A person was admitted into some type of mental hospital, and he's getting better. But if they take him out now before Shoshana, he'll be able to hear shofar. But you know, maybe it'll slow his progress in his. So he says, Pasha, that he shouldn't leave the hospital. He's getting better. Keep him there. So he, because the person would be willing to spend chomesh to be mentally healthy. So too, you know, you shouldn't take him out of the hospital, even if it means he won't be able to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So this is a different angle. You know, one approach is to say that milach atchila, there's no chi of mitzvah b'makom choli. Meaning, there's no chi of mitzvah b'makom choli. Other words, they know. Of course, there's a chi of mitzvah. Again, I say no chi of mitzvah. It doesn't mean the mitzvah is a mitzvah. Of course, it's a mitzvah. But I'm saying maybe there's a p'tur. There's a p'tur of holy. There's a p'tur of mitzvah. That's what I meant to say. It's a p'tur of mitzvah. The other approach is there's no p'tur of mitzvah. There's a p'tur of chomesh. But tzar that's worth a chomesh, if you're willing to spend the chomesh, that it's not an independent p'tur of mitzvah. Mitzvah is limited to sukkah. You can't apply mitzvah. Mitzvah maybe is limited to tefillin. But there's a different p'tur. There's a p'tur of chomesh. If you're willing to spend the chomesh to avoid this, then you're p'tur also that. That's a different approach. Questions, comments? Okay. I wanted to just now take this to analyze a different angle, the question of isurim. This is all about mitzvahs. If you're going to fall into, you're going to end up having to be bedridden, so you don't have to put on tefillin. You don't have to shake lulav. Can you do an isur? Can you do an isur? If you take the parallel to the Chomesh, we know that to violate an Isser, you have to spend a Kol Hono. The whole din of Chomesh is only a mitzvah's essay. By Lavin, you have to spend all your money to avoid a Lav. So, if you have a lot of Tzar, can you do a Lav? You say, no, it might be Tom. Just like you have to spend all your money, you should also Tzar yourself not to do a Lav. So, when it comes to Lavin Drabanan, there's more wiggle room. Because there are certain dinim like Kavod HaBrios and the like, that might be applicable. So there's a famous Shailas and Shuvas of Chovas Yair in Kuf Tzadi Aleph, Rav Yair Bachrach. He was one of the early Achronim. So he has the following Shaila. Sheela, Kohen Ha'omed B'chatzero V'hugad L'pitom Sheyesh Meis B'shkunaso Yimos Heveheim Yimos Achoref Akor Godel Yim Ruach Adir V'chazach. It's the middle of the winter, and you're standing outside, and you know there's a mace in one of the houses. It's got some chatzers. So you have to like pass through binitma b'tumah rabbanan to go somewhere else, or you're going to stay there all of Shabbos. You're going to be stuck outside. Imagine like a open yard, and like it's surrounded by buildings. So in one of the buildings, there's a mace. They're all attached. So the tumah, let's say, rabbanan spreads. You have to figure out the exact details, but he's assuming it's Dindra Rabbanan, the Tumah spreads with Rabbanan, so does the Kohen stand there all winter, all night, in the winter, or is he allowed to run out and to go sleep in a different area? So he writes, V'sha'alti mutu lo lorotz terach habayis hachutza l'kanis l'bayis shcheino, im yishayir sham yispol tzar golo me'akor. V'od yishrayi lahat yishrei, gabi Tumah's Kohen afkufei atiru beis apras to Rabbanan, shim noda l'Kohen pitom yulbash atzmo t'chila. So he talks about a case where a Kohen is, you know, taking a shower, and somebody tells him there's a mace. So has he got to get dressed, or does he have to leave naked? So he says, it's Tumah Rabbanan, it's Kavod HaBrios. So is Kavod HaBrios similar to Tzar? That's the question he's really dealing with. And he argues, yes. Just like there's a Heter of Kavod HaBrios, So too, there should be heter not to cause, not to have tsar. Karkaza poskim shestamani adam choli mitzvah kor. So he's maybe within a chola, etc. Okay. So he wants to be matir. And there is a infamous Shai's and Shuvah called the B'samim Rosh, Rav Shaul Berliner. It was attributed to the Rosh. Rav Shaul Berliner was an early maskil, who was also a big Talmud Chacham, but he seems to have plagiarized this. It's unclear if he had some Ksav Yads or he made up the whole thing from start to finish, but the B'samim Rosh is, when it came out, created a big stir because a lot of the Shailas that he deals with are things that the reform movement was like talking about. Can have like an organ in shul, have a goy play an organ on Shabbos, it's a mir la'akum, it's a mitzvah, maybe shvi mutter, and like things that were, you know, hot button issues at the time, and he attributed this to the Rosh. The Rosh matter all these things. So anyway, it turns out it's clear that part of it was a forgery, maybe the whole thing's a forgery. And some poskim don't never quote it. And other poskim say, listen, some of the ideas are good, so even if it's a forgery, some of the svaras are good, like, whatever's good we should use. There are different approaches to how to look at the B'samim Rosh. It's very interesting. In any case, so he discusses this question, Asher Sha'aluni Ha'ish Sha'al L'Nezilus. A person is, very sick, he's going to get a cold. V'yesh lo mizeh michush gadol shekol evarav kfeidim olav mevali yamim aravim etzar. He's very in pain. Amra rofim v'yatsu likach gvina shmena lishtos ya'alav yayin chazak v'tov v'shneihem lo nimsu b'iro ksherim. So the doctors say you have to drink wine and have cheese, and this fellow lives in a place where there's no kosher meat, wine, and there's no kosher cheese. So could he have gvinas akum and, you know, stam yenam? These are assumed rabbanim. These are assumed to alleviate his pain. There were pasher shemuter ki lo gazru makom choli afilo ein basakana v'chola she ein basakana pater mitainis v'tishabav v'tiru malacha she ein tzarech l'gufa v'shabes. Etc. So the B'samim Rosh argues that there's a general p'tur of tzar and choli, and you can violate Yisurim Drabanan as a blanket hatter. So the truth is, he didn't really make this up. The Chovas Yair, who came, you know, a few years before him, says a similar thing to Tzolos Kohanim. But Or Sameach got a hold of this, and he argues, he says, there's a fundamental difference between Kavod HaBrios and tzar. Kavod HaBrios is Dolchei Yisurim, Yisurim Drabanan. But Tsar isn't. A person has to be willing to be the Tsar himself. So Dolchei Matsanu, but Kavod HaBrios, Dolchei Dvar Torah, source number 20, Shev Al Taise. Dolchei, I'm not going to read the whole thing, I see we're running out of time, but Dolchei Amru, Aya Kilayim Shaya Lavush Beshuk, Shev Al Taise, Nidchei Kavod HaBrios, Amru Brachos. With Tsar, Lomatsinu Shenidchei, Shu Mitzvah Yvei Tsar. This is the difference between Tsar and Kavod HaBrios. Kavod HaBrios is Docha, Tsar is not Docha. Adra B'sukkah, Dafka K'siv, Teishu can do it. Dafka by Sukkah, there's a Ptur V'Tzar. V'lai Rishoni is posed with the name of Nifter, Mitzvah Delfina, V'ein Zerak, etc. U'v'zeh Batlu Divrei Misha Rotzel Apakbeik Shebetzar Yen Butur B'chol Yisurim Divreim. So here he's referencing the Shub B'Samim Rosh. He says, and here, this is a Raya against what he said. So he says, if you push it off because of Bizayin, you also push off with Tsar. It's not true. For easy, she lockach dvar mishut chavas yair. He says, not only is he wrong, but he plagiarized the chavas yair. V'yishtaka zeveli omer. It's not true. V'chein hu v'atzma hevi behind the Rebbe Chash Memeyev. V'kashayel klum yesh adam shiyodei yayin tapuchin. So he quotes the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. That sounds like you're not allowed to eat Isurim Drabanan to avoid choli. And then he says, he doesn't even quote him. So Simon Reish Pei, Simon Rosh, is the Simon we just saw. He's arguing on him. He says it's not true. So there is a machlokas here in the Achronim. It's interesting, the halacha, if you look at the Shuvas Hanagos of Sturmbuch, it seems to be passing against the Or Sameach. He thinks that there is a p'tur of doing mitzvahs, which we saw already, and even a heter of doing Yisurim Jorban and welcome Tsar, Gadol. Again, you have to figure out how much Tsar is Tsar. If you look at source number 21, he says, Ulamaisa Nira Demutu Levatal Mitzvah Essay, Ulaavor Isur Jorban, Kadesh Ululach Yichbar Alav Chelio. The logarim Kavod HaBrios. He argues with the Or Sameach. He thinks that Kavod HaBrios, is equated to Choli. And I just want to end with a really fascinating shita in the Shita of Kubetzes in Ksubis, in the Aflam Gimel. The Gemara says a fascinating thing. The Gemara says that if they would give Malkus to Hanani Mishael Azariah, they would have worshipped Avodah Zarah. So the question is, what do you mean they would have worshipped Avodah Zarah? I mean, Diarak L'Yavar. So some say it's a guzma. You know, Malkus is very painful. It's trying to show Malkus is more painful than Misa. There are different understandings. Some say it wasn't really Avodah Zarah. That's why it was just Anadarta. Different understandings they're showing. But if you look at the Shita over there, he quotes one Deya that says, it's true you have to give up your life for the Gimel Chamuros. But you don't have to suffer. You know, if they would have been tortured. To be tortured, it's worse than dying. And you're allowed to violate Gimel Chamuros, or at least Avodah Zarah, if you're going to be tortured. Which I think is a fascinating shita in its own right. But also, for our discussion, it's interesting because it's highlighting the fact that pain is a p'tur. It could be a p'tur even for Gimel Chamuros. Again, there's pain, there's pain. Being tortured is not the same as having a headache. Or it's not the same as, you know, falling in Minav HaLemishka. But fundamentally, this idea that maybe Tsar is a p'tur of a Mrs. Essay or of a Isurim, at least Isurim Jerabanan, you know, there could be some echoes of that could be in that Shita, in the Shiva Kubetzes. Beseder.